1 John chapter 3, verse 24. We continue our study in the book of 1 John. We today are going to learn how to try or test the spirits. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 24, and we're going through chapter 4 and verse 6. All right? Verse 24 says, "Now he who keeps the commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that it is that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who does not know of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, Lord, we call out to you, praying for your blessings. I pray, Lord, for your guidance in this message. I pray, Lord, that you will just fill me with your spirit, that I may proclaim the glorious gospel, that I may give instruction in your word, that we all may grow thereby. Lord, I pray that you'd give us hearts to respond, that as you convict of sin, as you draw men to you, that, Lord, we will respond to your leading today in this service. And I pray that your will absolutely and completely be accomplished in every life that's present. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. I was once asked the question, "How can I know that I'm right? How can I know that I am right?" At the same time, I was told, when I was asked that question, I was told, "Every religion in the world believes they're right. What makes you think that you're any different from the rest of the world?" I'm not sure how this is going to sound, but I do not apologize. I'm different than the rest of the world, because the Spirit of God lives in me. That's the difference. I do not say that in pride or my ego. That's not my ego talking. That is a fact of God. You see, when a child of God becomes a child of God, the Bible says that he is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And as he's indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we have a guide that will guide us to all truth. John 16:13 says that. Therefore, I know I'm right because of the Spirit that lives within me. The next question would be, well, how do you know the Spirit that is within you is right, Brother Doug? Well, here is the God-given system that will verify that the Spirit within me or in any believer here is right or it's wrong. In verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Do not believe every spirit. Do you realize that you can't trust a lot of things that you hear in this world? You cannot trust a lot of things that you feel. You can't even trust a lot of things that people believe. But you can try the Spirit Whatever situation that you find yourself in, you can try the Spirit to ensure that the Spirit that is guiding you, and you are being guided by a Spirit, if you and you test that Spirit by the standard of the Word of God. And if you can, if that Spirit is in agreement with the Word of God, then you're right. If that Spirit that you're following is not in agreement with the Word of God, you're wrong. It's the long and short of it. For you see, and please listen to this statement, the Spirit of God will never, ever lead you in a direction that will transgress or be in conflict with the Word of God. Never. I've heard people say such thing as when they were considering getting a divorce. Well, Brother Doug, I believe it's God's will. You better check that Spirit. I've heard people say that married people, that God had brought this other person in their life, and they believe God would have them be with that other person rather than the person they were married to. You better check that Spirit. If it does not align with the Word of God, that Spirit is a deceiving spirit that comes from Satan. Okay? A spirit of the world. Today, that's what I want to challenge you to do, and that's what I have to do as I preach this. I want us to test the spirits, and the first test is the conduct test. Verse 24 says, "Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, the Spirit of God whom he's given to us." How do you know if your conduct is of God? How do you know if you are being led by the Spirit of God in the decisions that you make in this life? You test your conduct according to the Word of God. Okay? I mean, there are two spirits in this world. Number one, there's the spirit of the world. And number two, there's the Spirit of God. And you're going to listen to one of those two spirits. Now everybody, this message applies to everyone. I don't care how old you are. You see, this is what we need to learn in society, and that is to learn the ability to just stop and weigh it out. Where does this action that I'm taking, this lifestyle that I'm living, come from? We start with a moral question. The moral question of sexual activity. Will I be sexually active outside of marriage, of the marriage relationship, the God-given marriage relationship between one man and one woman? Kids are answering that response to or that question today with, well, it's nobody's business. It's nobody's business what I do. If it makes me happy and it's what I want, well, then I should be able to do what I want, and it's none of your business. Well, listen. It's not any of my business. You're absolutely right. It's God's business. Okay? And if you are a child of God, I know that the world, as far as sexual activity outside of marriage, the world says if it makes you happy, you should do it. The world says, do what you like, follow what you feel. But you know what the Word says? The Word says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints." To put it in our language, it does not belong in your life if you are a child of God. First Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. Run from it. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I'm just so drawn in by my sexual temptation. Run. Get out. Don't put yourself in a position to be tempted. Here's the choice. You have what the world says, and they say, do what you feel. It's nobody else's business. And you says, and then you have what God says. Flee fornication. You know why He says that? For your good. For your good. He's not trying to keep you from having fun. He's trying to make this life a glorious life so that you may know the joy of living for the glory of the Father. Moral questions like that. Go to the Word of God. Questions of love. Let's talk about a love question. How do I handle myself in the world? You know, the world says, love those who love you. Bless those who curse you. I'm sorry. Love those who love you and hate those who hate you. That's the world. If you do it to me, I'm going to do it back to you. I'm going to get even. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to curse you. I'm going to hurt you in any way I can if you mess with me. That's what the world says. You know what the Word says? The Word says, love your enemies. No, wait a minute. Let's concentrate on this just a minute, okay? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do you love your enemies? Oh, listen. Went to the ABA meeting this week. It was one of the best meetings that I thought we've had in maybe forever. But I was tested. If you've ever driven Interstate 40, you know the test. I'm not kidding. I dread between Little Rock and Memphis. And the other day when we were driving to Knoxville, Little Rock to Memphis wasn't bad, but the other side of Memphis went berserk. Every nut was on the road. We would run up on people doing 50 miles an hour texting on their cell phone in the passing lane of Interstate 40. Of course, you have your normal trucks that are passing the guy that's doing 64.5 miles an hour and he's passing doing 65. Not key. I followed somebody for 30 miles one time behind trucks. And you know, I have a weakness. After a while, I get tired. And I'm being totally serious. I was going there, or driving down the road, the thoughts were in my head, I hope the wheels fall off of your car. I'm serious. Preacher? Yeah, I'm human too. Beth asked me one time, are you okay? I said, yes. She said, are you irritable? I said, yes. But then in the middle of all that, along the way, this thought come to mind. Test the Spirit. You know, I love it because God always runs these things through me before He allows me to preach them to you. And so I said, okay, Lord, I know this didn't come from you. But I'm really having trouble right now controlling this. Test the Spirit. Test the Spirit. I mean, I wanted to say things. I wanted to motion things. I wanted to do things that... But the Word of God says, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Let me tell you, if you can pray for other traffic going down Interstate 40, it is a victory. But you get the idea. You know what I've discovered? Those times when I'm bitter and I'm having those
thoughts of, oh, I'd just like to shake somebody, and you know, in those times, I'm not hurting them. You know who's hurting? Me. God wants better for that. And when I try the spirits up against the Word of God, I begin to understand. It's just, it feels much better, and it's much more joyful to love. You see, that's the difference between the world and the Word. The church question. What about the church question? You know, the world today says you don't need church. Church does not save you. The church is full of hypocrites. And so therefore, we're seeing a great falling away from the church. And that doesn't measure up according to the Word of God. You see, the Word of God, the Spirit of God will declare to you, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know what that verse, to put it in a nutshell, means? It means we should want to come to church, not want to come to church. The world says it doesn't matter what church you go to. And that's the big thing. It doesn't matter what church you go to. Their church, as long as they believe, and they always stop there, as long as they believe, oh yes, it does matter. That is a false spirit, or a spirit of the world. You see, it does matter where you go to church, because Matthew 7:15, Jesus Himself said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." There are so many churches today where it's all about the money. So many churches today, and it amazed me. I still am amazed at the Learjet flying preachers that get on TV and ask for money, and people send them money because they need a new jet. Bless their heart. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Doug, that church got a good youth program. Is it really good, or is it just an active youth program? Are they teaching the truth? Okay? Your kids need the truth. Oh, Brother Doug, all my kids' friends go there. I understand that, but are they preaching the truth? You see, there's all these conduct tests that we've got to just basically say, okay, here's what the world says, but what does the Word of God say? That's what we need to learn as Christians today. How to measure our conduct against the standard of Scripture. Then there's the confession test. Verse 3 of the text says, "Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now already is in the world." You know what that word confess means? It means to say plainly. And the idea with that scripture is that there is no question on where one stands in relation to Jesus Christ. That the name and the mission of Jesus Christ is never, ever compromised. But since the life of Jesus, there has been a move to remove Jesus from religious circles. Let's try the spirits again. In the world on salvation, it says one religion is as good as another. We all serve the same God, we just call Him by different names. And when I say that there's only one way to heaven, then that's bigoted and narrow-mindedness. That's what the world says. But you know what the Word says on salvation? Acts 4:12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus, it's Jesus, you know, the only way is Jesus or no way. And anybody that teaches anything but salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ is a false teacher.
And it does not matter. It does not matter if they have the best, most active youth group. It does not matter if they have the prettiest church facilities. It matters what they preach about Jesus Christ. Period. Try the spirits. The world on ministry. You know, the world says it's the church's job to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and give to the poor. But do not mention the name of Jesus, for you may offend some. And do not call sin, sin, for you may offend some. You know what the Word says about the ministry of the church? Beloved, the church is not here on a humanitarian mission. We are here on a great commission. This great commission says, Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And you cannot fulfill that purpose without declaring the preeminency of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the only way to heaven. We're to make disciples, not make this world a better place to go to hell from. Try the spirits. You realize, of course, you do have that responsibility, right? Every one of us as individuals have that responsibility. Well, Brother Doug, isn't that your job? Yes, it's my job, but it's your job too. Finally, let's talk about the overcoming test. Verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I love that part. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do you realize, and this is what most people don't understand, this is what our kids don't understand today, is that we do not have to live in sin and opposition to God. Brother Doug, you don't understand the pressure. There's always been pressure. You remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told, you bow down to this idol image. You remember what they said? They were told that if you do not bow down, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. You know what they said? In the Greek it says, go for it. Not really, that's in the dug, okay? But that's basically what they said. They said to the king, O king, you hear me. You hear what I'm saying. You can put us in the fire. You can do whatever you want to do. And if God wants to save us, He will save us. If not, He will not save us. But here's the bottom line. We will not bend. We will not bow to your statue. There's always been pressure. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. When Daniel was told that he could not pray for fear of being cast into a den of lions, you remember how that turned out? You remember what Daniel did? He went back to his house and prayed 3 times a day, just like he had always done. It didn't matter what man said or what the king said and the threats of the king. Daniel knew what was right. He weighed the spirits. And he said, oh, that's just wrong. I'm going to keep praying. And you know what's really cool with both Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire, but they didn't go through the fire alone. God didn't keep them from the fire. He was in the fire with them. Daniel, he didn't keep Daniel out of the lion's den. He was in the lion's den with Daniel. Angel came and closed the lion's mouth. Oh, my friends, what I want us all to understand is that we just back up and learn, hey, there's a test. I do not have to live in sin. Because greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. Who's he that is in the world? That's Satan, the prince and the power of the air. Who's he that is in me? That is Jesus. And people are just bowing down to sin. Oh, you don't understand, Brother Doug. It's so hard. There are homosexuals who say, well, I was born this way. I can't help it. No, you're wrong. There are sex addicts who say, I have a drive that I just can't quench, and I've got to do the pornography and all this, and I can't help it. Oh, you're wrong. The problem's not homosexuality. The problem's not sexual perversion. The problem is sin, and every one of us had that problem. And there is deliverance from sin. Okay? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's you and me. He came to lift us up out of sin and set us on a higher plane, forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is help for you today, but the only help there is for you is the same help there is for me, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what He died for. You see, Jesus died because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. He died to pay our sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. He gave Himself so that we don't have to live that way anymore. You know what? I praise God. I do not have to live in sin anymore. Oh, I'm slip on occasion. I do. Just like you do. Just like we all do. But I'm no longer a slave of sin. I'm a slave of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I was born a sinner. But glory to God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am now a saint of the living God. Where do you stand today? My challenge to you is this. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. Try the spirits. Are they of God? If they're not of God, go the other way. Measure your life, child of God, according to the Word of God. How does it measure up? Today you may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today's the day. Brother Doug, are you telling me if I come to the Lord for salvation today, all my troubles will be gone? Oh, no. No. But I will tell you this, when you go through the fire, you will not go through it alone. Lord, the Savior Jesus Christ will go with you. Because you know the fact, the reality is that we can't fight the battles alone. I'm not victorious because I'm this well-disciplined guy. I'm victorious because I've called on the name of Jesus Christ. And He's given me the victory. Are you a child of God? If not, I want to ask you to come today. Maybe there's another need in your life. Maybe it's time as you weigh and as you look and you say, you know, I've been living this way a long time, but I know it's not right. It's time for a change. Listen, if as you measure and as you test the spirits, if they're not right, don't continue. Don't keep going that direction. Let God deliver you. This invitation is for you. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the victory that we have in You. For greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Lord, You're in us. And because You're living within us, the victory is already won. Now, Lord, I pray that you would have victory in every life present today. Lord, we need you. Those who are lost need you. Those who are battling need you. Those who are fighting the spiritual battles, Lord, we need your power in our lives. So, Lord, bring us to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.